Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Breaking news. Now let's go to James with the weather.
Today's forecast shows those thunderstorms are finally moving out, and the rest of the week is going to be beautiful.
Welcome
to the preacher
and the pastor.
And I am Tawanika Manning.
And I'm Dorsey Manning.
And we are the preacher and the
pastor.
Today we're talking about every clothes I ain't sleep.
That's right, every clothes I ain't sleep.
Oh my God, if it didn't visit home today, huh? Every clothes I ain't sleep.
Every clothes I ain't sleep.
Well, if you just now tuning in, today's topic is Every Clothes I Ain't Sleep, and we actually have a special guest. We actually have Prophet Cedric Pitts on the show today.
Oh, he's going to be great. I know he is, Prophet Cedric Pitts. I got a chance to see him preach one day, and oh, he really does a great job, so I'm really excited about having him on the show today.
Absolutely, absolutely. If you're just now tuning in, if you're logged on to the blogtalkradio.com, the Preacher and the Pastor Show, and you want to chime into this conversation, please give us a call at 845-277-9213 and be a part of the conversation. Today we're talking about here, Every Clothes I Ain't
Sleep.
Amen, amen. So we're going to really dive into it, and we're just going to be real about the situation. And we just thank God for the opportunity this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. This show will bring awareness, you all, awareness. Yes, I'm going to say it again. This show will bring awareness on what's really going on around us and what it seems to be. What it seems to be doesn't mean it is. So we come to inspire, encourage, and bring knowledge today, and always referring to the recorded word in the Bible of what God says and what the prophets have said, because the Bible declares that God says, I speak to my prophets before I do anything in the earth. So we just thank God that he does send the prophets. So we're excited about Prophet Cedric Pitts on the show today, as we are prophets. My husband is a prophet. I'm a prophetess. Not just, we are prophets of God. We're God's prophets. So God speaks to us before he does anything in the earth. And so, again, we just want to thank you all for tuning in. Pastor, what you got to say about this topic, because we got this from you one day we were talking, and you always reference back to your grandfather, and we thought this would be a good topic for the show today.
Right, right. Every closed eye ain't sleep. That was something that my grandfather used to say. He said that to me, and not only just to me, he said that to a lot of his friends and family members and grandchildren, and he never really told anyone what that meant. Every closed eye ain't sleep. And I used to ask him, I said, Papa, what do you mean every closed eye ain't sleep? And he'll just smile and he'll say, just keep on living and you'll see what I mean. So, yeah.
So what does it mean? You know, I mean, you've been living. You've been living now. So did you figure out what that meant, that your Papa was trying to say every closed eye ain't sleep?
You know what? It actually it means to me something different than it means to someone else. So we were actually playing domino. We were playing a game, playing dominoes. So he was saying every closed eye ain't sleep, and he was talking about the game of dominoes, and he was talking about what you think he don't see, he definitely see it. But if you think he don't see it, he was already in a position to beat you in the game. So it means something different to everyone. Now, what I found out when I got older was that every closed eye ain't sleep. I was like, you know what? My papa taught me something. He taught me that just because you think I don't see something, don't mean that I don't see it. You know, there can be things that's in your relationship that your partner, they maybe think that you don't see. You know, they may try to hide some things from you, thinking that you can't see it, but you do see it, and the reason why you see it, because, you know, you are who you are. You know their behavior, you live with them, and you just choose not to say anything about it because you just want to always give that person that opportunity to be able to, you know, hey, just go ahead on and come clean about it, you know, say what it is that you think that I don't see, what it is you're trying to hide, you know, every closed eye ain't sleep.
Yes, amen. Yes, yes. If you're just tuning in to the preacher in the past, we're talking about every closed eye ain't sleep. And I'm glad that you said that because there was something, like I said, visit our home today. And I know you always tell me, you know, yeah, just because you think I don't see it or say anything doesn't mean. And when we say that, just because I don't say something doesn't mean I don't see what you're doing. Just because I don't acknowledge what you're doing doesn't mean I don't see it and know it. And a lot of times we want to give a person the opportunity to kind of come clean about what you're doing and how you're operating. And it is very important that we come clean and be who we truly are so that we can be free. That's one thing, that's one of our tags in the show is freedom, when you allow yourself to be free from those things and, you know, trying to operate, what they say, operate under the radar, trying to operate under the radar. Mm-hmm. That's the same thing as every closed eye ain't sleep.
That's right. Every closed eye ain't sleep. Now, I was just thinking, I was thinking along things where I can say every closed eye ain't sleep. So I remember when I was in high school, I played football, and I thought I was a pretty good football player. I didn't know how good I was, you know, at football. I'm not going to say I was the best football player. I'm not going to, you know, get into all of that. But what I am going to say is that, you know, when I was playing the game of football, you know, the game of football is timing, it is strength, and it is speed, and it is remembering the plays and knowing the plays. But there were times when I would be on the football field, and it was almost like I can see things happen before they happened. It was almost like the play before was showing me what was the next play was going to be. And it was just times I was just always being position. I was always in position. Not even the player didn't even know that I was placing myself in position. I made it look like that I wasn't in position, but I was always in position. They thought they had my eyes closed. They thought my eyes was closed to what they was trying to do, but my eyes were open.
My God. I think that's just a gift that you have as a prophet, because some prophets, we can see past, present, and future. So a lot of times, because you have that gift, because you are a prophet, you're able to see things before they happen. And definitely making sure that we use our gift according to how God has called us to use it. And a lot of times we don't even know, you know, some people knew from their womb, their child, they knew it was something different about them. And that's, you know, and that brings us to our guest today, Prophet Cedric Pitts, knowing when you were called and realizing, you know what, not only is there something different about me, I know God has a calling on my life. And how do I operate in that calling as a prophet? And I know for you, my husband, that you would say I'm weird. I know when we first started talking, he's like, I'm very weird. And then when you met me, he was like, oh, she's even more weird than I am. And I was like, wait a minute, this kid's a prophet, you know. And I was like, for some reason, I didn't want to say you're a prophet, you know. I was like, okay, let me hear from God. I knew you say try the spirit by the spirit, and the spirit of a prophet is subject to the prophet. So I was like, oh, he's a prophet. Does he know he's a prophet? I know you said you had the gift to prophesy, but like, well, no, you're a prophet. And so, and even with us, a lot of times my husband would say, remember who I am. It's kind of like every clothes I ain't sleep, remember who I am. I can see and I know and
that's
I can hear from the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And so a lot of times I could be thinking something or something happened and you'll come and I would say this, God, you know, can he read my mind? You know, and I know I can see things and we both
you
see
forgot.
And it's kind of like you got to be.
You forgot, preacher. No, it was more of pay a lot of attention to you.
I pay a lot of attention to you.
Sometimes, you know, we have to realize that we are a creature of habit. You know, it's not just being a prophet. That's you using what you have, and that's the spirit of discernment. You know, babies have a spirit of discernment. Even animals have a spirit of discernment. An animal can know when another animal is somewhere near. They know if this animal is here to harm them or not, because they just have that feeling. So just like a baby don't even have to know you, and that baby can see you and can become afraid of you because it's just something in you that's causing them to be afraid. But on the other hand, that same baby can see another person that they never have seen before and come to them with open arms and get in their lap and just be smiling and things, because that spirit of discernment. You know, we all have a spirit of discernment that you should definitely pay attention to things. You should definitely pay attention to signs and feelings. And you should just know. That's knowing without knowing.
Amen, amen. If you just can't tune in to the preacher and the pastor, we're talking about every clothes I ain't sleep. I was about to say every clothes I ain't sleep.
Yeah.
And we have Prophet Cedric Pitts on. We're so excited with the chosen generation. I hope I got that right. And we had an opportunity to, we're going to bring home in a minute. I preach along the side of him. We have a really good time. When we get together, oh my goodness, just we're going to be calling out them demons. We're going to be breaking some chains and everything, and healing and deliverance. It's definitely, we have a deliverance ministry. So I'm excited to have him on the show and what God is doing in him and for him. It's such a blessing to have him on the show. And we're just excited, excited, excited. So we're going to go ahead and bring him on this time. If you're just now tuning in to the Preaching the Pastor show today, we're talking about Every Close, I Ain't Sleep. And we're so excited to welcome Prophet Cedric Pitts with Chosen Generation. Prophet Pitts, you're on.
God.
How you doing?
I'm good. God bless you, Prophetess, and God bless you, Prophet. I am excited.
Welcome, 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 Prophet.
And look, I appreciate the intro. I mean, I'm just clay and a pair of lips. I'm nothing special.
You always say
vessel.
That.
<I'm>
Much more than that. Did I get your ministry, the Chosen Generation, is that right?
Chosen Generation Prophetic Ministry. Yeah, Chosen Generation Prophetic
Ministry. Chosen Generation
Prophetic
Ministry. Oh, my God.
Yes,
God,
ma'am.
You definitely have amazing calling on your life. From the first time I met you, you came out to the show, and we were just in spirit. We just connected in spirit. And I remember you walking to me, and you were like, somebody back. And I was like, what's wrong? You last year? You like, no. And we just went in the hallway immediately, trying to spirit by
right.
the spirit.
Amen.
And
most definitely.
Just tell us about when you knew that you were, and I'll let Pastor take over. I'm just going to ask one question, Pastor, and then you can take over. Prophet Pitts, tell us when you knew that you were different and you had a calling on your life.
Well, I have literally been seeing pretty much my whole life. I think the first time that I had angelic visitation, I was 5 years old, and I was asleep in my bed, and I woke up, and there were two angels standing at the foot of my bed and two angels standing at the head of my bed. And then there was a big light, and it was like, it was literally almost blinding, I guess. It was blinding, but I could see. And, of course, me being 5 years old, I didn't know what it was, but I wasn't afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after that night, I started just seeing different stuff. Like, there would be, like, I would be in people's homes, and I would see dark figures, or I would see two people standing in front of me with two heads and all of this stuff.
Oh,
and then it started scaring me. So, of course, I began to tell my mom. Well, my mom raised us in the church. My mom is a preaching machine, and she just was like, well, somebody prophesied to her when she was like 6 months pregnant that she was birthing a prophet.
Wow.
And she said, so this is the prophecy being manifested. Because they prophesied that I was a prophet. And I was like, first of all, I'm five, don't know what a prophet is. But literally, since I was five, I've been seeing, I've been hearing, literally praying for people, prophesying to people. And the crazy thing about true prophets is that a lot of times we prophesy and don't even realize we're prophesying. I have literally been trying to have a normal conversation with someone, and they'll be like,
try that.
How did you know that? Who told you that? And I'm thinking to myself, what are you talking about? And it's like, they're like, how did you know that about me? You don't know me. Well, I thought you told me that. And they're like, no, I didn't tell you that. Well, this is what I heard.
You know what, Prophet? Before you go any further, my husband, his mom was pregnant with him. Is that okay for me to tell, love? Is that okay for me to tell?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
His mom, when she was pregnant with him, she was filled with the Holy Ghost. So he's had some of the same, like what you're saying, some of the same experiences. So, you know, it's just, you know, when you get around other prophets, you find out when you tell each other a story, it's kind of like, it's so similar in a way. So I just wanted to say that because his mom was pregnant with him and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I just wanted to say that. But anyway, keep going.
Yeah, it got to the point where I always knew that I was different anyway. But it was just like I never really wanted to fit in. I mean, I tried. Many times I tried to fit in and failed miserably. And I would try to do what the other kids were doing, but it would always turn into church. I would go to parties, it would turn into church. I'd be hanging with friends, it would turn into church. And I'm like, you know what, I'll never be a normal kid. I'll never be what everybody else is, because there's something on the inside of me that doesn't allow me to fit in. Even in my sin, I still couldn't fit in.
Wow.
Even when I was doing wrong or trying to do wrong, I still couldn't fit in, because God always found a way to speak to me and get my attention.
Wow. So, Cedric, what I wanted to chime in with, first of all, I want to come in and say, man, I appreciate you being on the show. As I said, and part of the introduction, man, I heard you preach one Sunday, and it was just so uplifting. I mean, you were just right on point. I can see the Holy Spirit using you. You know, I was there, you know, in the church with you, and it's almost like, you know, you were speaking directly to me. It's like the Holy Spirit was speaking directly to me. And there were some things, you know, I thought, you know, he wasn't speaking, but it's like, the sermon was for me. So, like I said, I just want to appreciate you. I just want to let people know that how much I appreciate, you know, allowing God to use you, you know, being a man of God, you know, and stepping into your calling.
Well, to God be the glory. As I said, with me, I've learned how to be, it took us some time because I used to fight it. I've learned how to be yielded. Uh-huh. And a lot of times it's hard to be yielded when there's so much you see and you're dealing with. And so a lot of times, I know for me, I don't know about other prophets, but I know me, there's sometimes so much happening at one time till it gets overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, Lord, can you shut some of this off? Let me focus on this, and then we can get to the rest
of it. You want to be normal for a little while. You don't want to see everything.
Yeah, like,
you're right.
Because it'd be like he'll be speaking so much till you can't even fathom or process what's going on.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
And so, you know what, yeah, a lot of times, when even when you saw me at church, I'm like, it, like I said, when I'm singing, he's speaking. When I'm preaching, he's speaking. So it's like you try to reel it in, and you try to prioritize to make sure you're doing exactly what
you're
saying.
Did you say
sometimes
prioritize?
Like, yes, I be trying to prioritize. I'm like, okay, this is what I'm doing. Look, this is what we do here, and then we're going to go to the next thing. But he's like, no, you got to move when I say move. Because a lot
right.
of times somebody's life may depend on it.
Right, it's true.
Amen.
It's true.
Amen.
You ever been in a situation
that
where it happens to me? When you try to leave out of place and you be like, Lord, I just wanna go get my stuff and come out and you gotta go back.
Oh man. Listen, people say all the time, everybody who is close to me say they cannot go into any public place with me.
That was my friend.
And you've been
she
in a public
say that
place
about
with
me.
You know what happens.
Oh yeah, but I don't mind. You
know
we go
happens.
In together. We go in together.
Right. But, like, I remember having friends, they didn't want to go to the store with me because it would always end up, God would send me to somebody in the store and to encourage them or to speak into their life. And I'd be like, Lord, I just came to get me some bread, some cereal, and some candy. That's it.
I'm
going to
put you on the side. Prophesy. We're going to tell you to prophesy. Prophesy. Prophesy to me.
Yeah. Oh, that's the biggest one. When they know
you're
a prophet. Oh, what's the word?
They know you're a prophet.
The Lord prophet. Let me hear the word. I got one.
Mm-hmm.
Got 66 books you can find. Every last word you need.
look, and that's me.
They
and that's me. Yeah.
You.
That's me.
Yeah,
like, you know, I can show you where you can go, you know, get the word.
He will give you the Bible.
Yeah. No, because what happens is when people know you're a prophet and they pull on you like that, if you're not careful, you literally can walk over into the spirit of witchcraft because
come
there's a thin line between
speak
prophecy,
now.
Prophecy
come on.
And witchcraft. And
yes.
when they're pulling on you constantly and constantly, you're going to eventually go into witchcraft
yes.
because what you're saying,
you
got to
be careful. You got to cut them people off.
Right, because you want to help them and you want to encourage them. A lot of times, if you're not careful, you begin to speak words that God hasn't spoken.
That's true. Amen.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
You're helping somebody.
The difference
helping
between
somebody.
A witch and a prophet is consecration.
It's consecration. Come on. Say it again.
The witch and a prophet is consecration.
Consecration.
And if you are
come
not
on
consecrated
now.
Before God and you begin to
Jesus.
Prophesy, you are literally working
Jesus.
In the spirit of witchcraft because
witchcraft.
There's no
yes.
power. There's no power. There's no anointing backing you because you have not taken time to consecrate before God.
Jesus.
Amen.
And people
that are listening that don't know understand what consecration is, explain to them what you mean by consecration.
Consecration is being set apart. It means to separate yourself.
Come
and
on now.
That's fasting, prayer,
mm-hmm,
and time in the
mm-hmm.
word between just you
Jesus.
And God. When you cut off
just
the world,
you
cut off, I'm telling you, the thing is, what happens is a lot of us don't even know what fasting is because it's really not about
come
food.
On. It really not,
it's
not
about what's
about
on
food.
The inside
come
of
on.
You. Fasting is about your inside. You can stop eating all day, but if you have not taken the time to get your inside right, you just
come
stop eating
now.
And losing weight.
Come on
you
now,
just,
prophet.
You just diet
yes.
and you're not fasting. When you consecrate, you're
Jesus.
Literally opening yourself up to be vulnerable
yes.
before God so that he can pull
yes.
out what does not need to be there and pour in what's necessary for your next level or your next thing that you got to do in him.
Yes,
and so that's why we have to stay consecrated before God in order to be effective, especially as a prophet, because as I said, it's easy. It's easy. It's a very thin line, and it's easy to find yourself in that
it
place
is.
Where you think you're hearing from God and you're really hearing from your own thoughts and intellect.
And your emotions. Well, okay, Pastor,
yeah,
you say you have another question for prophets?
Yes, sir.
I do. Prophet, this, you know, today when I was at work, you know, I was just so excited. And then my wife told me that you were going to be a guest on the show. I was just so excited. I thought, oh, man, what am I going to ask him? So I actually took a little bit of writing down a few questions today at work. I have a few questions here for you. And they're not any hard questions. They're just questions. One question I want to ask you is how do you change your mind? Now, I'm hearing you saying about being consecrated. So this question here is, how do a person change their mind about something? I think that's something a lot of people, you know, really want to know.
Right. Changing your mind is not as easy as it sounds. Because it sounds like
that's
it
right.
should be something really
That's right. That's right.
But changing your mind takes one, a willingness.
Yes.
Because if you're not willing, you'll never be able to change your mind. So first you have to have a willingness to change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you're willing, then you have to be willing to go through a process of changing your mind. Because what happens in changing your mind, there's a reprogramming. And everybody who knows anything about programming, it takes a process. If something crashes, it doesn't take 2 seconds and it's fixed again. There's a process that has to happen in order to restore what was lost. And so when you have to change your mind, you have to be able and willing to go to the process of the things that were wrong in your mind being taken out, shifted, and being renewed in you. Because a lot of times we've been taught so many different things that are not right. It takes a process in order to reprogram.
Preacher. We even made it on this project. Preacher.
So in order to change your mind, you've got to be willing to go through the process. And the one thing that I know about changing your mind is that you got to be, you have to want to. It's about you got to want.
That's right.
Because a person can pray for you all day that your mind changes, but if you within yourself don't want the change, it'll never happen. We can slobber and roll on the floor with you. We can drench you in blessed oil. We can pray and prophesy until we're blue in the face, but it takes an individual decision that you
want
to change your mind.
That's right. And it comes with
maturity. It comes with maturity.
And he asked me that same question today, right? So I'm going to intervene just a minute. He asked me the same question as the prophet. He asked me, how do you change your mind? And I said, you know, you got to be willing to. And I also said, for me to change my mind, I had to change my surroundings.
Yep.
I had to change who I talked to, you know, who I allowed in so that I could change my mind, my perspective, because a lot of times when we listen to other people, like even for me, I put myself in a position that was going to be a self-destruction, basically. You know,
come on, yeah.
So I had to start, you know,
changing my
environment, who I listen to, who I talk to, and so I had to do that so I can change my mind. Watch what I'm listening to. Watch what I'm watching, so I can change my mind.
Oh,
wow. So I downloaded the Bible. I downloaded the Word of God. I got that in me,
right,
so I can change my mind and my attitude. And I told him, I said, my attitude. And he goes, let's talk about your attitude. I said, no, you're not about to interview me.
I was just going to say, that's funny you said that. I was just going to say, it's also about atmosphere, because atmosphere can be crucial to your mindset.
Oh,
an atmosphere is most definitely crucial to your mindset.
Yes.
You
want
to say something, Prophet?
Yes. Oh, you know, I got a couple more. I'm just going to ask you one more question here.
Okay.
You know, I had a few questions on the list, but you really have nailed it. You really have nailed it. That question, you know, that was something that I was thinking about this last night, and I've been thinking about this, you know, for quite some time, that how do you change your mind? And, I mean, you definitely are a man of God. You know, you hit those points almost just how I've seen them. I mean, you hit those points, and, you know, and like I said again, you know, thank God thank you for allowing God to use you here. Okay, my next question here. Let me see. I'm going to pick this one here. How about this one right here? Do you have enough to live peacefully? Do you have enough to live peacefully? You're talking about your life. Whatever it is that you need in your life, do you have enough to live peacefully?
Ooh-wee.
That's the last question that I had right there. Come on, man, you gonna put the prophet on the spot. That's a heavy question.
I would like to say yes with confidence, but if I can be honest with myself, I do believe that there are some things that I need and could change and use in order to live more peacefully. Because as the woman of God, I know, I'm gonna say it like this. And again, I know a lot of prophets. Prophets tend to be slightly moody, and so one of the things that I know that God is constantly and consistently working on with me in order to live peacefully, because the Bible says, "Follow peace with all men, holiness without, no man shall see the Lord." He's dealing with my attitude. and my mood because that's one of those things that once the switch is turned on, my God, from Zion, once the switch is turned on, it's kind of hard to turn it off. But he's dealing
my
with
Lord.
It in order to help me live peacefully. So I can say, yes, I do have enough, but I say it like this, I want more. Help
amen.
Me
amen.
More
amen.
Know how to handle situations and not go off the handle. Help me to know how to love the people that you called me to. Help me to love the people who don't believe they're called to me. Help me to love the people who don't even receive me.
My Lord.
Amen.
My Lord.
Those are the places where I feel I can grow more, and especially in the place where people don't receive you, because the Bible says the prophet is out without honor in his own hometown. But it's sad that when you walk around and people that don't know you won't receive
they don't
you.
Know you
watch
receive
it. They don't receive you not because you're not real or not because you're not true
Jesus.
And authentic, but because of what they've heard.
Yes.
Right,
and so
right.
How do you handle that as a preacher, prophet, pastor? How can you live peacefully knowing that people don't like you just because somebody told them something?
Amen.
My Lord.
That takes,
amen.
And that takes literally humility.
Yes.
That takes a whole bunch of humility and a whole bunch of shut mouth grace.
Shut mouth. You know what, Prophet, you know, you've been knowing me for some time now, and people that are listening to the show as a prophet, as we operate, a lot of times we have to deal with a lot of stuff that's not even ours. You know, we have to deal with a lot of spiritual warfare, and every prophet is an intercessor, whether you want to be or not.
Mm-hmm.
We are intercessors.
Right.
So a lot of stuff that we're dealing with is not our own stuff. How do you deal with that as a prophet? I know I deal with it. I have to come against that stuff. I mean, every day I have to explain to my husband, but I see some stuff that's coming our way. You know, he's like, wait a minute. I'm like, yeah, we're going to have to deal with this because I'm praying for this person. I'm serving this person. Or,
right.
You know, this has happened. Or even making, sometimes they figure us as prophets, we should be able to see and not make those mistakes that we're still human. And they're looking at us, oh, well, you should have known that. Or you should have seen that coming.
Yeah. Oh man. Lord.
Oh yeah.
That is one of the worst things you can say to a prophet. You should have seen that coming. Well, yes, the Bible does say that he won't do anything in the earth unless he reveals it to his servants, the prophet. But there are some things that God does not allow us to see because it's a process of making us. So sometimes he'll let something get past us in order to see how fortified we are in our calling. Because a lot of times we get relaxed
Jesus.
And lackadaisical in our calling, and so God has to let us miss something and let something happen to see how we stand in it. And so to answer what you said, how do you handle when you're dealing with stuff that don't belong to you? Well, I've been seeing since I was 5. I'm 32 now, and it's still a learning process because there was a point in time where literally everybody knew me as Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. I cried all the time about everything and anything. And a lot of times people always thought that it was something wrong with me, but honestly, I was crying and didn't know why. I was sad and didn't know why. I was depressed and didn't know why. And then God began to send prophets and other people in my life who understood what I was going through and helped me to understand that a lot of times when I'm having those moments, it ain't me. It's somebody that I'm covering, or it's somebody that's close to me, or somebody that God has connected to me in the spirit, and I'm carrying their weight because their shoulders are not strong enough. And so how I've learned how to handle that is pray for it, release it, and keep it moving.
Yes, you remember for 7 days I was called to in the gap for you, and I prayed and covered you for 7 days, and we were on the phone, and you was like, God, send me somebody to pray for me, and then God sent me, and it was time for you to prophesy to me, and I said, hey, you know, and I knew you had a word for me, and you was like, you went in, and you was like, look, you was like, I knew you didn't want to give it to me, because you wanted, that was your time.
I'm like, Lord, I need to be poured into, and a lot of times, we get left out of the pouring.
Yeah.
Because people are so used to us pouring into them that they don't realize we also need to be poured into.
Yes.
And
if you're just now tuning into the show, the preacher and the pastor, we're talking about every closed eye ain't sleep. And we have right now on the line Prophet Cedric a pitch with the Chosen Generation Prophetic Ministry. Is that correct?
Yes, Chosen Generation Prophetic Ministry. Yes,
and so,
ma'am.
Anyone, if you want to ask something, isn't it okay? We open up the lines. If anyone want to ask you a question as far as your calling, if you want to speak with the prophet at this time, you can press 1 and we'll bring you right through and you can ask Prophet Cedric Pitts. You know, whatever you want to ask him, and whatever he's open to answering, feel free at this time. You'll need to press 1. If you're logged in online to Blogtalk Radio Show / the preacher and the pastor, give us a call at 845-277-9213. Again, the number is 845-277-9213. We would love to hear from you. We're just excited about having you on the show. It says something about when prophets get together, like me, you, and my husband. And I was telling my husband, I was like, I've been through some things. Even we were talking about telling a lie. And what was the topic we were talking about the other day? Something about the lie. When the lie ain't working no more. And when I tell you the lie came to my house, knocking on the door today, and I had prayed about it being a prophet. I knew it was coming. I was like, Lord, I went and prayed about it to come against it, and it came. My husband got a word. He was trying to figure out, like, where this came from. And so when it did come, he was like, oh, okay, this is why God gave me the word. One thing I could say, we operate in the Holy Spirit, so it's nothing that we can really keep from each other. It's going to come out. It's just a matter of time when it comes out. And I remember you gave me a prophecy. I still remember we were out there in Port Arthur. Was it Port Arthur we went to? The church out there?
Yeah, the big church out there.
Okay, and you looked at me one Sunday. You looked at me one Sunday and you said, I see marriage. I see the man of God coming for you. God prepared them for you. I see it. And that was in Africa. That wasn't for you. That ain't what God had. That wasn't for you. But this man is coming. Yeah. And because she was like, Prophet, I got a word for you. And I was like, okay. And I said, I receive it.
I receive it
in the name of Jesus.
That was in October.
That was October when you gave it to me. But another prophetess told me that the prophet was going to come, and the prophet would let me know when the man was coming and who the man, you know, when the man was coming. That's how I know. Because there were others that were trying to come and tell me they were my husband and you're going to marry me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, because I hadn't got the word yet, you know, from the prophet.
So that day you told
me. And then, of course, it came twice. Let's talk about that.
Right.
When a prophecy comes, it'll normally come. One, it'll be confirmation. And it'll come another time to you. You'll get it, another prophet coming, another come to be a witness. So if somebody listening, to try to understand how that works, because some people don't believe in prophets.
Right. Well, yes, true. Prophecy generally is confirmation. And when I say confirmation, it's either confirmation of something that God has already spoken to you, or confirmation that God has spoken to you through another vessel, and God will send another vessel in order to confirm if this is him. And a lot of times the reason why God has to send confirmation is because we didn't completely and totally receive it the first time. We received it, but it was like, okay, God, you didn't already told me this, right? So when he sends it again, what it does is it causes an urgency to form in you, because it's like, okay, God sent this more than once, so this must mean it is on the way. And so, yes, prophecy most definitely can be confirmation. But a lot of times when we get the mindset that prophecy is confirmation, when God sends a prophet with a word that we've never heard, we tend to not want to receive it. But understand, prophets are not only called to confirm, but they're also are called to create.
Yes.
Prophets
Amen.
Are called
Amen.
To create. When a prophet speaks a word of their mouth from the mouth of God to the prophet's mouth and to the person that God has called this person to prophesy to, it creates something. When you prophesy to somebody, you're creating something in them. And so a lot of times when people prophesy, if a prophet comes with a word you never heard, you're like, well, I can't receive that because it's not confirmation. But a lot of times you're not in the position or ready at that moment to hear that from God for yourself. So he will send a prophet in order to prepare you to know that this is coming. Doesn't mean that it's not God, because it's not, quote unquote, confirmation. It just means that, listen, I'm telling you now, this is getting ready to happen for you. And then when God positions you and you position yourself to be ready, then the confirmation will come within you or by way of another vessel. And then you know, okay, this is God. But prophecy is not always confirmation, because a lot of times prophecy is correction.
Correction. I was just about to say that. I was waiting for a time to get in. Because a prophet is going to come with correction and instructions.
Shoot. If it don't come with a
prophet, I need you to come sit down on my couch for a little while because you need to come sit down and preach this, what you just preached. You know, me and my wife, we'd be going back and forth and talking about things. And sometimes, you know, I'll say stuff, and she said, I don't receive that because I ain't never heard that before. So I'm glad that you was a prophet on the show.
It ain't
nothing. No.
It ain't that I never heard
up.
It before.
I think
I ain't
she
never
told
heard
me,
you say that before.
Last night, well, you believe that, and I'm going to believe what I believe, and we just going to believe differently.
No, he wants to get to preaching at 1 in the morning and trying to bring out something. I'm like, bro, put that up. Go to bed.
We'll get back to that later.
Go to bed.
But no, you know, but the thing is, what happens is, I learned this about pretty much all preachers, but prophets, literally, we find revelation and the word in pretty much anything.
Everything, yeah, that's
movie,
true.
A movie, a news article, a picture.
Everything.
We literally can find
that's
revelation
right.
in anything. And so sometimes
right.
the revelation hits you at, like, some of the most inopportune times. I've known.
Yeah, like 1 o'clock in the morning.
There's been times that God woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I had to be at work in about 2 hours, and literally wrote a whole sermon. And I'm like, Lord, I gotta be at work in 2 hours. But I promise
you, yeah,
I'll
be up all night.
I was refreshed. I wasn't sleepy.
Oh yeah.
I was wide awake and alert because I got up and obeyed the voice. And so a lot of times when we don't, when God is functioning us to move. When he's given us a revelation and we don't move, then that's when we have to deal with the repercussions. So it's easier to get up when he unctions you. It's better to get up when he unctions you, do what he tells you to do, so you can go back to sleep. Because I've had
many nights
because God gave me a word for somebody, but because I'm like, oh, well, they're not going to receive it because they don't like me, or they're not going to receive me because of this and that.
Oh,
and so I didn't give them the word. So then when I got home, I didn't get no sleep because that word was wrestling with me.
Yeah.
And so
that's why
I learned that when God gives me a word, I don't care if it's the Pope. If he say it, I'm going to say it because at the end of the day,
yeah, see it. And I'm learning that too.
Yeah.
Definitely, Prophet Pitts, come over and sit on our couch. And say that one more time.
Oh, you just messy. Oh, I said you messy. That's a mess. I thought Prophet Pitts was the petty prophet, the messy. You is messy. He's messy. Don't even try to say because you're a prophet. You're messy. If you just can't tune in to the preaching of the past, we're talking about every eye ain't closed. I mean, every closed eye ain't sleep. Every closed eye ain't sleep. We have Prophet Cedric Pitts. Prophet Cedric Pitts, speaking about this title, if you can just elaborate a little bit on this title about every closed eye ain't sleep, we would really appreciate it before we let you go.
Oh, that's an amazing. Every closed eye isn't sleep. Well, let me help you. And this is not about being a prophet. This is just about being somebody who's nosy. I'm a prophet. I don't know about nobody else. I'm a prophet. I'm nosy. And that's probably what makes me a better prophet because I am nosy.
Because you're nosy.
But a lot of times what happens is people think, as you were saying when I got on, people think because it's not addressed doesn't mean it's not seen.
Uh-huh.
A lot of times, what I'm shown is not for me to address. It's for me to just take notice of. And that,
hallelujah.
Like, I'm the type of person when I'm in an atmosphere, a lot of times I see a lot of stuff, but there's only a certain amount of things that God will allow me to release. Because some of the stuff is only for me to take notice of. Like, I'm the type of person that I can be in a room full of people telling me, oh, I love you, prophet. God bless you for your ministry. You're such a powerful man of God. And while they're talking, I'm hearing, I don't like him. Oh, he's this. Oh, he's that. Can I call it out for what it is? I have been in a room who were telling me that they love me and the anointing on my life is so powerful and I love the prophet. Mm. And all the while in their head, they're calling me gay and punk and sissy. And I'm laughing in the inside because I'm like, you're telling me you love me when I'm hearing what you're actually saying. But I never say that.
My Lord.
I'm telling you, I've been in churches. Listen, let me tell you. I don't know if you remember, but it was one night after the play. I looked at you and said, man, I wish the people would stop talking. And you say, what? I say, I hear so much. And I think the people don't know I hear it. Because it's like people people are so quick to judge, and they miss out on some great people. And so a lot of times people think, she didn't say nothing, so she must don't know I was talking about her. Well, she didn't say nothing, so she must don't know that I'm tipping with her man. And it ain't that I don't know. It's that I haven't been released to say it yet.
You might
be glad that I haven't been released to say it, because if I'm released to say it, you're not going to like what comes out.
Yeah, that's true.
So a lot of times the prophet has to pretend to be asleep so that the lion doesn't come roaring.
Ooh, you heard it here first on the preacher and the pastor. Say it again, prophet. Say it again.
Sometimes the prophet literally has to pretend to be asleep so that the lion doesn't come roaring or the sword does not come down. Because, listen, there are prophets that God has commissioned with a sword in their mouth.
Jesus.
See, everybody loves the prophet that speaks blessings and favor.
Oh, yeah.
But
favor, prosperity.
There is a level of prophetic unction that God has placed on his prophet that a sword is in their mouth. And when God sends the prophet to send the sword, it cuts. And
it
so
cuts.
A lot of times when the prophet is being quiet is because there's a sword coming. And I'm trying I'm trying to save you from the sword.
Jesus, come on now. If you just have tuning in to the preacher and the pastor, we're talking about every eye closed, and we have Prophet Cedric Pitts on the line, and we went over our time, but we definitely enjoyed you on the show. And normally we have the part of the preacher and the pastor, Nana Ford, and her husband, Willie Earl Henderson. We're going to get straight to that, and stay on the line, Prophet Cedric Pitts. We have a part in the radio show. It's called Preach Preacher. I'll give you 2 minutes to preach that thing, that word, for our people, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Hold on for a moment with us. Oh, my goodness. Pastor, you have been so messy. I'm going to deal with you after we get off the air. Every close our ain't shut. This is a segment of the show where we time with Willie Earl Henderson and his wife, Nana Ford. Hallelujah.
Realize who got the air on you. One thing we do know for sure is God sees all.
And knows
y'all. Yes, he do. And he watching you in here.
No, he watching
you. He watching you. Now, he watching you. He watching you. Think you going to get away with it? You all that stuff he said, you can't wait here. Play the music. Play the music. I don't want it. You just think you think you're slick. Yeah, you think you're slick. It's going to come back on you.
Come on, put your hands together. I need to see you screaming here.
And the pastor, if you're just now tuning in, we're talking about Eric Klaus, I Ain't Sleep. Boy, I tell you, that couple is something else. 62 years.
62 years and still in love. You can tell.
I bet you have to close your eyes on some things.
Yeah,
62 years.
Yeah,
I'm pretty.
Years,
I'm sure they know everything about each other. Yes, yes.
Well, that's one thing about, being married. One thing about being married, you married your wife or you married your husband, and for the good, and the bad, not every day is going to be a good day. Maybe it's going to be a good day. But you have to realize the reason why you married him or you married her in the first place, that should be what keep you together.
Amen, amen. Glory to God. At this time, this is a segment of the show. We have a preacher in the past, and we're so happy to have Prophet Cedric Pitts to take over the segment on today. Prophet Pitts will bring you back on 2 to 3 minutes to preach whatever it is you want to preach about today to the people.
Okay, well, when you said that, there's one scripture that dropped in my spirit, and I pray that this scripture blesses every person who may be listening. Romans 8:28 says, and we know all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And I just want to let you know, it's working. I don't know what you're going through. It doesn't matter how bad your life seems right now. It's working for your good. Mm. God sometimes allows things to happen in your life to strengthen you, not to hurt you or to harm you, but to show you how much strength you have on the inside of you. So today, if you are going through hell in your life, it seems like everything that you think was supposed to work didn't work. Know that it's working for your good. A lot of times, God won't allow something to happen because he knows the end result is destruction. It might look good when you see it, but the end result of it is death. So God will allow it to stop or that door not to open so that he can save your life. It's working for your good. Sickness might hit your body, but it doesn't mean that you're going to die. The Bible says all sickness is not unto death. Yes, you might lose your job, but God may have a job that's greater for you, or he may be pulling you off your job in order for you to start your business that he put in your belly and your spirit long time ago that you keep procrastinating about. So guess what? It's working for your good. I know that your children have been in trouble, and you seem like they don't listen, and you're not getting through to them. But God says that the seeds of the righteous are blessed, and the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. So if you have children who have been in trouble, if you just keep praying before God and lay on your faith, trust me, God is going to get their attention. Yes, it may be behind prison walls, but they can come out. Yeah, yes, they may be in trouble right now, but God is a deliverer. God is a healer.
Yes, he is.
You may be sick in your body right now, but know that it's working for your good. You may have lost your job, but it's working for your good. You may have lost your home, but it's working for your good. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen next, because God has already made your next step. He's just waiting for you to be prepared to step in it. Because if we step in what God has for us too soon, we will ruin it. So God has to prepare us. So I want you to know tonight that it's working for your good. Don't you give up. Don't you give in. Don't you throw in the towel. Namam Shako. Ramade
in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, my dear, come on, dear,
God shall get the praise. Even in this, God shall work it out in your favor. So I encourage you today to hold on, because God will step in when it looks like all has failed, and he will turn your situation around. And just know that it's working for your good.
Amen. We thank you so much, Father Linda Pitts, for being with us on the line today. Let us pray right now. Father God, we just want to say thank you, oh God. We come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We are not moved by what we see, hear, smell, touch, or taste. We are not moved by reason. We're only moved by your spirit and your word. And we know your voice and we hear your voice. And we refuse to follow strangers, according to John 10:27. Our seed is mighty upon the earth, according to Psalm 112:2. Lord Jesus, we ask you to expand our territories right now in the name of Jesus Christ, and fill us and increase us in the Holy Spirit and anointing with your power, as you have called us prophets to nations, oh God. And we just want to say thank you, oh God. Lord, we ask for divine positioning on tonight, oh God, that you will position us to receive every blessing that you have for our life, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you help us with our unbelief, oh God, and increase our faith right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you to fill this, your temple, with as much Shekinah glory as possible. Help us to bear the cross you have prepared for us, and help those in our families right now. We ask that the Holy Spirit, speak to our heart through your word. We ask that you prepare us, oh God, with reverence and worship,
right now,
and with
your
community through your Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We ask you to take out of us, add to us, and do to us anything you want, Father God. We ask that the word we read will be engrafted into us and become part of us, mind, body, soul, and spirit, and emotions, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh Lord, we declare right now, by your power, you are helping and causing us to be bold, dauntless, fearless, confident, intrepid, loyal, and steadfast, faithful, true, and loyal for your name's sake, oh God.
Oh,
Lord, we ask you to deliver us where we are blind, wretched, naked, and poor. Help us, oh God, right now.
Lord,
we can't do it by ourselves, oh God. We just give it all over to you right now. Lord, we just want to say thank you, Lord God. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Lord, forgive us and help us to follow your direction. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
In the name of
Lord, heal the sick right now, oh God, that's your sword. And Lord, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Bless the life
thank
of your
you,
prophet,
God.
Cedric Pierce. Bless the life of your prophet, Adore Manning. Bless the life of your prophets, oh God. Let us hear clearly from you, oh God. Don't let us not speak in error, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ,
Lord.
Let every need be met right now, God, on this line. Every need, oh God. Let there be no lack of your goodness operating in our lives. In the
name
of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we just want to say thank you, oh God. And we fill this prayer with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that does all things but fail. In Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray with thanksgiving. To God be the glory. And we all say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Again, we thank you, Prophet Cedric Pierce. We got about 2 minutes. We're wrapping up. Again, thank
you.
God bless you. And we love you. Take care.
Thank you so much for having me. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Always. All right, Pastor, we're wrapping up the end of the show here. Well, food for thought in your closing for tonight. We have about 2 minutes.
Okay. I just want to say, Prophet Pitts, I told everyone when I came to hear you preach, oh, my goodness, I mean, you have so much that God has poured inside, and I just want to just join in and just say thank you for being on the show tonight. It was a great show. It was a great show tonight. Food for thought. I want to have us go to 1 Peter 3, and I just have one scripture for tonight, 1 Peter 3, and I think I might have referenced it a little bit earlier today. 1 Peter chapter 3, right here in verse, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Right here in 1 Peter, what it says, if you want to love love life, he that want to love life and see good days, don't lie. Put on truth. Tell the truth. Because when you're telling the truth, what you're doing is, if you're choosing to follow Christ, Christ is the truth. Put on the truth. Because when you choose to tell a lie, what you're doing is you choose to follow Satan. For Satan is the liar. So make sure that you put on truth. If you want to see good days, tell the truth and refrain your tongue from lying.
Amen. Amen. I'll take that and I'll eat it in the name of Jesus Christ. If you're just now tuning into the preaching and the pastors, we close with the last few seconds of the show. Today we're talking about every close eye ain't sleep. Every close eye ain't sleep. And just going to the word of God in Ecclesiastes 12:13-14, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. Proverbs 15:3, he sees what is behind and what is ahead. All the threats, all the dangers, God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. I want you to be encouraged on today to know that you can be forgiven. You just give it all over to God and just ask God for forgiveness and just know that it is already done. Once you accept that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, all your sins were already forgiven. It was all done on the cross. God